Part 29, Chapter 7. The fateful moment of the bank meeting arrived. 5 days had passed. Johnny sat alone in the small meeting room that had been prepared and waited for the others to arrive. There was not the slightest doubt in his mind that this was going to be a battle bigger than he had ever fought before. Being Johnny, he had been unwilling to simply sit idly by while McAdam and Baron von Roth prepared. They had been busy enough. For 5 days and nights, the hum of the teleportation rig had resounded through the bowl. Things had come and things had gone on the platform behind the tarpaulins. But they did no talking, lest they be overheard, and the only words that sounded were, "Motors off, no planes approaching, stand by, and fire." Whenever anyone, especially emissaries or the small gray men, had come near the tarpaulins or the curtained corridor to a bunker, stern bank guards had pushed them back peremptorily. All Johnny got from McAdam was,
"Later, later."
Not even Angus was talking. He had gotten an estimate that it would be several days. Mr. Tsung had told Johnny that the negotiations of finance and banking were very specialized things. He had added one phrase that had stuck in Johnny's mind.
"The power of money and gold over the souls of men passes all wondering."
The pre-dawn sky of the day after McAdam's arrival had found Johnny in the air. He had heard of a university outside the ruins of an old city named Salisbury, about 175 miles southeast of Kariba. He had tried to get Sir Robert to come along, but the old Scot was hanging on to the radio in the ops room, doing what he could for Edinburgh. Instead, Johnny had taken a couple of Chinese soldiers to shoo off the lions and elephants when they threatened to interrupt his studies. The university was a ruin, but the library could be sorted out amid the dust and debris, the roof and walls having stood. Camped out in the wreckage, Johnny had pried congealed packs of catalog cards apart and had pretty well found what he was looking for. It had been a well-endowed library once. It included lots of economics texts, probably because the relatively new nation had had a dreadful economic struggle of it. The texts were in English, and they covered the history of economics and banking pretty well. Mr. Tsung had been absolutely right. It was a highly specialized subject, and when one went wrong, like some nut named Keynes they had all become mad at, it really messed things up. What Johnny got out of it was that the state was for people. He had suspected that was the way it should be. And individuals worked and made things and exchanged them for other things. And it was easier to do it with money. But money itself could be manipulated. The Chinkos had been great and patient teachers, and Johnny knew how to study. And with a mind like his, he got things as quickly as a traveling shot. Quicker. 4 of those 5 days had been spent ears deep in books, nose full of dust, with Chinese guards warning off black mamba snakes and African buffalo. Sitting there, in the meeting room, waiting for the others, he had the satisfaction of knowing that, while he was no expert, he would at least have a grip on what this battle was all about.